This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Play action, Cousins looking, floating it down the right sideline, looking for Mo Harris, and a one-handed catch, but he's out of bounds.
Oh, he's going to say he's got this thing. You're going to want to take a look at it.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field is a touchdown.
The best catch of the year for the Washington Redskins.
That was insane. But the Redskins end up losing on Redskins Radio. This is NFL winners and losers, or football winners and losers from the weekend. We'll really dive into college tomorrow here with Sean and RJ. Brad Sham is coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. My question for Brad is, how much can you blame the team yesterday with all those injuries? How much can you really blame them? By the way, tonight, Brad and Kavanaugh will have Taco and Tank at the Cowboys Hour, Neighborhood Services in Frisco. Taco Charlton and Tank Lawrence. My first winner comes from this game, and it is part of the celebrations that I want to praise, and I was wrong about this year. Oh, nailed it. These football teams and these celebrations have been epic. And yesterday, Troy was going crazy after Case Keenum threw one of his four touchdown passes and the Vikings celebrated in the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. As we all knew, Case Keenum was going to throw four touchdowns in that game because we all know how great Case Keenum is. And actually, he is this season. But not too long ago, the Chiefs had a touchdown celebration with potato sack races and Travis Kelce. And I thought, oh, this is stupid.
Rock'em Sock'em, too.
Rock'em Sock'em was out there as well.
Lions Packers.
When you see the Vikings out there doing leapfrog, and you're looking at grown men that are 270 to 300 pounds leapfrogging down a goal line, that's amazing.
But I still think the number one seed for celebrations this year is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was terrific. When I saw the Vikings, I thought initially that's the best one. And then I see the Steelers recreate the A.J. Green, Jalen Ramsey chokehold.
When it happened, I yelled. We were doing the pregame, and I yelled to Troy, like, behind the mic. I'm like, someone just did a sleeper. Someone did a sleeper hold. I didn't know they were doing Jalen, A.J. and Jalen.
Yeah, they went rear naked choke on them right there. That was terrific. That was so creative. Look, these teams
That's
have...
That's not the best football one of the year, though.
But there's more creativity going into these celebrations than there is to a Cowboys game plan.
The best football celebration of the entire year, the human limbo in the CFL. Did you see this, Troy?
Yeah, I saw. I didn't know it was a CFL game, though.
CFL, four players, two guys on each end holding up one, and then the wide receiver limboing underneath. Walk off.
You got to get pumped up for that Grays Cup.
Yeah. As long as we're tossing out winners for celebrations, how about a loser for celebration? Did any of you guys see what Stephon Diggs did?
Yeah.
In the Vikings win over the Redskins. The Vikings won that game, and Stephon Diggs was actually flagged for the celebration that he chose to do. Why? Because Stephon Diggs pretended to be an airplane that crashed into the goalpost.
Oh.
He put his arms out like an airplane and crashed himself into the goalpost. And I think the referees viewed that as a little insensitive.
No, that's not the reason why. It's because he touched a goalpost. You cannot touch a goalpost.
Wait, but Antonio Brown jumps into it and like full-arm bear hugs it with both his arms and his legs. And they don't do anything.
You can't touch the crossbar.
But the goalpost you can touch with the padding on.
My winner, NFL celebrations yesterday.
I got two winners from that game as well. First, the Case Keenum contract that he's going to get this offseason or coming up. The guy just continues to rack up touchdowns. And this Minnesota team just continues to get wins. But I also have got to give a big winner to the tears of Teddy Bridgewater. If you were not emotional during that moment, you have no emotion. Teddy Bridgewater active for the first time in a couple years. He was just brought to tears in that moment and brought to emotion. There was thought about putting him in that game at some point. He grabbed his helmet because Keenum threw a couple of picks.
Yeah.
And that game got close. Swearinger had a pick that went right down inside the five. So there was chance for Teddy to get in there. They still think that he might come in a couple of weeks. But those two guys, those are both winners from this week.
Big winner for me, the team that is arguably the hottest team in the NFL. Seven straight wins as the New Orleans Saints once again did it without Drew Brees having to do hardly anything. Take a listen to the name that got on the scoreboard for the New Orleans Saints.
Second and seven. Daniel handing it off. Edmonds, he's got some running room left side, has the first down, scampering down the sideline inside the 10. Five, touchdown.
Chase Daniel hands it off to Tim Edmonds, who runs a 41-yard touchdown. The Saints have six rushing touchdowns in the game. They don't need a single passing touchdown from Drew Brees in the game, even though he did still have over 250 yards. He had a rushing touchdown. Mark Ingram had three of them to go with 120 yards rushing, and Alvin Kamara. That run game in New Orleans, they don't need Drew Brees to throw for. They don't need him to throw for 250 anymore. They don't need him to throw for more than one or two touchdowns because their run game and their defense is going to be enough to win them a lot of football games this season.
I'm going to name an individual loser. The nut job known as Vontaze Burfict.
Oh!
Vontaze Burfict gets tossed, then starts going at it with a female in the crowd, then gives the Manziel money sign while getting ejected. This guy makes Ron Artest back in Indiana look stable. He is crazy. And I don't know what else he can do to get a suspension, another suspension, or be banned for a longer period of time. Just making contact with the referee, okay. But it's just another Vontaze Burfict incident. I'm naming him as a loser as Cincinnati end up getting the L against Tennessee.
All right, so I've got a winner for you and a loser all in the same one. The winner is the Cleveland Browns because the San Francisco 49ers won a football game. So the top pick is the Browns to lose. But the biggest loser of that game is the Twitter platform that Hugh Jackson completely murdered after.
Twitter can blow up. It don't matter to me. I'm not going to defend that. That's on me. I'm not defending that. I'm not worried about heat. I think you guys worry about that more than I do. I've been taking heat since I came here.
There was call for his job on Twitter. He wants Twitter to die and go away. That's the biggest loser from that game because the Browns certainly were winners by losing.
I agree.
They're winners because San Francisco gets a victory.
And the Giants are winners too.
Mm.
The Giants, who I would expect will fire Ben McAdoo any moment today, the Giants end up giving San Francisco their first win of the season. And you got the race for the number one pick now. As the Giants, they're stalking that spot.
Giants are stalking that spot because they lose, and the Cleveland Browns are still in primo position.
Giants are 1-8, Cleveland 0-9.
And the Niners are 1-9 with the tiebreaker now over the Giants. That's not a tiebreaker you really want to have.
How about big winners? One particular division that used to be a laughing stock in the NFL now has two teams that seem like they're on their way to the playoffs, the AFC South. Both the Titans and the Jags come back late to get victories, not over that great a competition. The Titans needed a touchdown late to beat the Bengals. I'm sure Vontaze Burfict probably would have helped when they were running the ball with about 2 minutes to go, needing a touchdown to score, but the Titans get it from DeMarco Murray, who had three touchdowns in the game. And, of course, the Jags survived in their win 20-17 over the Los Angeles Chargers. There were a couple times they could have lost that game, but the Jaguars were able to hold on and eventually win it in overtime.
I think the Jets are a loser.
They're a loser anyway.
And no one cares about this game, but losing to Tampa 15-10, I don't know why. I guess I just expected the Jets to probably win that game. But they fall to 4-6. They were not going to make the playoffs, but they were making some nice noise this year.
Yep.
And some people thought they would go winless. But Tampa Bay gets the win 15-10. Bad loss for the Jets, in my opinion.
Lose to the Tampa Bay Bucks without Jameis or Evans. You know, they were missing a lot of pieces. Biggest loser, period, of the day, without question, without fail, is the John Fox.
Oh, the challenge.
John Fox is John Fox a moron. Okay. He is so bad at coaching. He challenges plays to get the ball away from his team and into the hands of the other squad. He challenged an out-of-bounds play. All right, Benny Cunningham ruled, he challenged the play of him ruled being a touchdown the first half, was ruled being him out of bounds. But he said, no, 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 he was in bounds. He reached for the pylon. Well, he fumbled before he got to the pylon, Chief, and you just gave your team a touchback. John Fox, who has his team so unorganized come playoff time that he just can't get it done. And the only reason why he even survived and still has a job is because Jake Delhomme dragged his sorry butt to a Super Bowl, and then so did Peyton Manning. And John Fox just stinks. John Fox shouldn't have a job in the NFL. There are great coaches out there who do not have jobs. John Fox is out here challenging plays that give the ball away.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, by the way, Dolphins at the Panthers. I'm tired of seeing Miami on my TV screen.
Dude, they've been in prime time like three of the last 4 weeks, it seems like. They had the Raiders game on Sunday night a week ago, and golly. I think, isn't Jay Cutler going to be back tonight?
Who cares? What game was Romo on?
Romo was on.
Had to be afternoon CBS, right?
No, it was a Thursday night game, right?
No, he's done with Thursday night. Pay attention. NBC, remember? Collinsworth.
Yeah, but it was 2 weeks ago that he was on that game.
Get to see it.
What does 2 weeks ago have to do with anything?
I was stuck at home with the dual games, the Fox and CBS, and he was not on the number one game for either of those broadcasts.
Okay. Someone text in what game Romo was on. Do we not know this? How is this possible? He couldn't have had the week off, right? What would have been the CBS afternoon game?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.